Hi, I'm Doug Keel, and we bring you greetings from South Carolina's Department of Education. Time for Speaking of Schools. This is a weekly podcast coming from the department, and we thank you for joining us as today we'll be hearing the audio section of the May Carolina Classrooms, which discuss the challenges that students face when they aren't in school during the summer months. One of those challenges being that summer slide. We're going to be joining Dawn Samples and her guest from the May production of Carolina Classrooms today. You'll hear the audio on our Speaking of Schools podcast. So stay with us. We are Speaking of Schools.
Children spend up to 180 days in school, not counting weekend functions and school-sponsored activities. So when that long-awaited summer vacation arrives, kids should get their fill of fun summer camps and soccer games. But what about that feared summer slide, when kids don't have much time to dedicate to schoolwork, and they find themselves behind once September rolls around? Hello, and welcome to Carolina Classrooms. I'm Dawn Samples. I know the last thing kids want to do during their summer break is to be stuck inside completing math worksheets while the ice cream truck passes by. So we want to show you some creative alternatives. Summer programs that will not only help your child retain math, science, and reading skills, but will build on it and drive their knowledge forward in a fun and exciting way. First, we'll visit Sand Hills Elementary School in Lexington, District 4. Mary Beth Thomas is the literacy coach there, and she is passionate about creating confident readers who believe in themselves and they find books that are right for them. She loves working with teachers one-on-one and furthering their professional development, so that they too can create connections between their students and books, which may motivate them and help them make good choices.
We know that students who do not read during the summer experience what's known as the summer slide. And typically students who don't read over the summer lose 2 to 3 months of reading achievement that they have gained over the school year. And so over the course of the elementary school, that results in a 3-year difference between students who read every summer and those who do not read during the summer. We know that reading 6 books is kind of the magic number. Research has shown that maintains learning throughout the year. So we send home 8 books with every student. And this summer is the first summer we'll be offering summer reading camps across the state for our 3rd graders, which will give them 6 weeks of additional instruction in a camp environment. Called Camp Explore, and our goal is that our students will come for 4 weeks in June and then 2 weeks in July and explore the world. We're just really excited because it's not school, it's camp. There's going to be art, there's going to be really just living as readers, experiencing that whole book club in the world beyond school. Reading in a group at a camp is a great way for students to find areas where they're really interested, to discover a series of books, to learn how to escape into a book. It also gives them opportunity to research. I know at our camp this summer, we're going to not only be working on our reading, but we're going to be working on our school. And we're going to be tackling the problem of what do we do with our school courtyards to make them friendlier for our animal environment as well as for the humans. But also they will go out into the community and learn a little bit more about our community. And they will also come back feeling very confident. It ensures for that group of students that they are going to sustain learning. They're going to get to come with teachers who are going to focus on comprehension, who are going to focus on making that right match of a book with a student. And they're going to maintain the routines that we follow during school, but in a way that's also enjoyable for students and a little bit different. During the summer, teachers don't expect parents to maintain our jobs. We're going to teach all year long. And what we want parents to do is do the awesome job that they do as being parents. And yes, that means making sure that there's some reading that takes place regularly in your home, but you also are just working with your child and you're talking to them. We had a parenting program here last month talking about what you could do over the summer, and we looked at the idea of gardening and reading cookbooks and building on the math skills by, you know, changing recipes to fit your family and planning those things. All of the things that you can do just as a good parent are going to support us and support their children in learning.
Studies have concluded that students from both better off and disadvantaged backgrounds made similar achievement gains during the school year. But research also shows that many students lose 2 to 3 months' worth of math and reading skills over the summer. It can take teachers anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks in the fall to get students back on track. This finding validates disparities between students from different socioeconomic backgrounds, but it also shows the importance of education and the role that reading summer programs play in our children's education. How can teachers prevent students from losing those important reading skills when their own school may struggle to provide the necessary tools? ETV's weekly public affairs program, Palmetto Scene, provides us with a positive example of how members of the Barnwell community extended a helping hand in support of the newest Barnwell School District 45 Summer Reading Camp program.
We have is just our summer reading camp program, and what we did was when we were beginning to plan it, we brought together all of the involved parties, and so we decided our biggest question was, what can we do to make this fun and engaging for the students?
Ms. Stevens, Ms. Chrissy Stevens, our curriculum and instruction director, came to me with an idea of how to do the reading camp that the state initiative they were putting out, and also how to couple it with opportunities to go out into the community and do book giveaways with children and spend time with them. And I thought it was a wonderful idea, and I jumped on it and pushed it as hard as I could push it.
We spent 2 days planning out everything and deciding what components we were going to teach during the day, our schedule and how we fit all of that in, what events we would plan, what curricular materials we wanted to use, and then we created those units based on student interest. We then looked to make sure we included a lot of research. We wanted as much research in there as possible, where they were highly engaged and doing the reading and writing the majority of the time. So you won't see a lot where it's just the teacher speaking and the students listening. It's really all about them being engaged in those different tasks.
We do a lot of interactive read-alouds where, you know, they're looking at the text, I'm looking at the text, and they're pointing out things to me and I'm asking them questions. They're doing research, a lot of hands-on activities where they're looking for information and creating some type of poster or project, you know, to reflect that, and they love that. That's their favorite part, I think.
The kids are really happy to be here. It's not like it's a punishment to be here. It's they see it as a privilege, and look what I get to do. And they present it that way to the community members that come in and spend time with them on Thursdays. They're excited about the opportunity to share and explain all the things they've been working on. And it's good for members of our community too, because they see firsthand what our kids are doing and make that connection.
We have community reading buddies once a week, every Thursday, and they come in and different volunteers come in and sit down with the students. We use it as almost a mentoring time. The students are able to share the projects they've worked on that week or earlier in previous weeks. They also share their portfolio with the community reading buddy, and they share the books they've been writing along.
That when you first turn the page, you're supposed to have the title of and contacts, and then you flip through the pages, you're supposed to have the numbers at the bottom, then this is illustrated, and you're supposed to write on the other side.
It feels great because you get to write stuff you want to write and fun stuff about the stuff you wanted to write.
Without our community support, we could not have done what we've done this summer. We have used community support in many ways. In the very beginning, we used that to be able to get the materials we were using, to be able to fund the book fair, to be able to have all of the books that we're giving out to the students. Right now, the students will end up, by the end of the summer, having over 30 books that they will have for themselves that they can then take and have at home in their personal libraries, which is amazing, and we could not have done that.
We got fire truck books, monkey books, and we got mixing truck books, and we got monster truck books.
They have grown not only in their reading level and what they can actually read, but we've also seen growth within their comprehension. In the beginning, week one, you may have a student that talks very little about the book. You're really pulling it out. And at this point, when we sit down and talk to them about the book, they're wanting to keep telling you and telling you and telling you. So we've seen great growth as far as the comprehension that we've seen there.
I want these kids to love reading. I want them to be more confident and not be afraid to pick up a book. And I'm hoping by the end, that's what, you know, they will do. They won't feel so self-conscious and they'll be proud of what they can do.
Research has demonstrated that STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math education, is an important element in developing the creative and problem-solving skills students need for innovation. Yet many K-12 schools in South Carolina aren't equipped enough to teach students all the skills they need to thrive in our tech-driven world. Thankfully, extracurricular opportunities like summer tech camps exist to equip tomorrow's technology professionals with skills that will help them succeed and will spark their curiosity. Whether it's building a functioning robot, creating a smartphone app, or learning to create a computer game from start to finish, there are many opportunities for students to explore real-world applications of science, technology, and engineering across the state. One example is at the South Carolina Governor's School for Science and Mathematics in Hartsville. Their Center for Science Education and Outreach offers extensive technology camps for students and teachers all around the state.
Technology camps are so important nowadays because technology is everywhere.
Technology is a part of young students' lives. They'll use a cell phone, they'll use computers, but for us, it's about teaching what goes into designing, for instance, a mobile application.
You know, a lot of these kids, they've never seen, they play apps on their phones, but they never realize like what goes into it, and so they love, you know, getting to build things themselves, like seeing how they can build games and get involved with things. So I think they really enjoy it.
I would definitely recommend the camp to anybody who is interested in anything to do with STEM, because you can definitely choose what you're interested in, and they have a course in that. The teacher's gonna be very knowledgeable, which is really cool. Ask all the questions you want. You learn a lot of stuff you wouldn't learn at home, and have tons of fun while doing it.
Well, the kids learn a lot about how teamwork, you know, they learn a lot about how to work together in groups to achieve a goal, as well as how they can use science in everyday life. You know, summer camp, I think it's better than school, because school, it has this sort of, you know, oh, I have to go here, but summer camp, you know, this is something that the kids want to do. You know, it's something which they come to this and they see it as something very fun, which is why the iTeams camp is really is a great thing, because while it is very fun, they also are learning a lot.
I've always been very interested in science and math, especially biology, and so finding a camp that I could come to and get to experience the campus, experience the school as a whole, and interact with other students who are interested in the same things that I am was very, it was awesome. The first year I went for explorations in chemistry. We learned a lot about chemistry, and we used a lot of dyes, and we did tie-dye stuff. It was a lot of fun. We did a lot of experiments in the lab, which was unique because I didn't do that at my home school, so that was cool. The second year I went for wildlife photography. We went out to a lot of different field places and took pictures. We went to the zoo, we went to some parks, and it was just cool to get out and learn how to interact with the animals and take pictures. And I was sad when summer camp was over. I had to leave all my friends and go back home. And summer was almost over, so I had to go back to school. And but it was a good experience.
So there are three kind of challenges that the kids do. My first year, there was a mobile apps challenge where children use the app inventor that MIT created to create an app for everyday use. There was a game programming challenge, which was where they used a software called Alice to create a game that they could play. It was Flash-based. And I don't remember what the third challenge was, but it was another similar challenge. This coming year, there will be 3D printing, where they create an object to use, app inventing again, and then another interactive objects challenge. You know, before they come to the camp, they can be very shy, or they may not work well in groups. But as they progress through the week, and you know, they learn how to work together to achieve their goals, you see them grow into these roles. And I really enjoy seeing them become better leaders and better working in groups. Technology camps are so important because they allow children to learn things about themselves that they wouldn't during the school year, as well as things about science that they don't let to learn during the school year.
Coming here and getting to learn things that I wouldn't have learned at home and getting to do it at a higher level was it made me a lot more interested in the STEM fields in general for career-wise, because I never really thought about that before.
But I think one of the best things that I hear coming out of camp is that they found a place where they fit in. They found students that are passionate and love science and mathematics and are interested in continuing this education on into their future.
We have a variety of summer programs. We have a residential program, and then we have programs that are offered in communities across the state of South Carolina. Our summer residential program is called Go SciTech, and then our programs that are often offered in communities across South Carolina, there are two of those. One of them is called iTeams Extreme, and the other one is a program called Creating.
Wow, what great insights to a student's life in the technological age. During each program, we like to showcase some of the wonderful things that are going on in our South Carolina classrooms. Tonight, we're featuring Ms. Amanda Kreuzman, an 8th grade English teacher at Gold Hill Middle School in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Ms. Kreuzman's classroom video was selected as the 2015 Lead PBS Learning Media Digital Innovator. Here's her story.
I truly believe that being an educator in the 21st century requires the use of technology in your classroom if you're really going to prepare your students for life after graduation. That belief drives me to use technology in my classroom with my students as much as possible. My students learn that from day one, technology is not just a fun tool to add on after the learning is done, but rather an integral tool to complete the learning. My students have blogs that they keep up with regularly and must post to as a part of a class grade. I am piloting Google Classroom for my district, using Google Docs almost on a daily basis. My students learn the fundamentals of tools like Photoshop, Erasma, WeVideo, and other editing software to produce high-quality work. We've even experimented with other digital media like stop-motion animation, as well as gamification and the use of programs like Minecraft in the classroom to help students get a real-life, hands-on approach to learning. Being selected as a PBS Digital Innovator would help me to spread my love for digital innovation and technology, not just with teachers in my own district, but with teachers across the country. This could have an amazing impact on the quality of education of today's students to make tomorrow's innovators.
As technology plays a growing part in our day-to-day lives, kids can find themselves disconnected from nature and wildlife. The Riverbank Zoo summer camps offer children age 4 to 12 the opportunity to explore the gardens, go behind the scenes, and learn about wildlife and wild places through animal encounters. Students will learn the responsibility of conserving the natural world and their part in the ecosystem. Studies have shown that environmental education engages students in learning, raises test scores, and encourages youth to pursue careers in environmental and natural resources. The Riverbank Zoo summer camps are a great way for kids to have some outdoor fun and connect with nature.
We have a great zoo camp program, and we also have a sprout camp program. Our sprout camp is up at the garden, and it's for our 3 to 4 year olds with an adult. We also have zoo camp that ranges from ages 4 to 12, and it's a very educational camp. It meets science standards, and the kids are going to learn a lot about the natural world in that camp. Our summer camp during the day includes a behind-the-scenes tour. It also is going to include a small circle time or a lesson that also has live animal encounters. It also will include daily activities out in the park, including our giraffes. By the end of the week, they'll have actually gone to every part of the zoo, as well as also having a craft each day. So there's lots of activities for the kids to participate while they're here at Zoo Food. Kids this day and age are very much surrounded by electronics and technology, and that's definitely a great thing, but it's also important to be out in nature, out in the sun each day, get that vitamin D. And so this camp really provides an opportunity for kids to learn about science in a very hands-on experience, as well as also to enjoy being outdoors daily, away from some of those normal things that they might play and entertain them. They get the opportunity to sometimes do a lot of hands-on activities that the staff here get to participate in, including feeding some of our various animals, learning how we prepare diets, also learning how we're building things. Right now we're under a major construction project, and one of our camps is going to be animal builders. So they're going to learn what does it really take to make an exhibit here at the Riverbank Zoo, as well as also animal homes outside of the zoo. Now our oldest campers get some different experiences from our younger ones because they're a little bit taller and a little bit more sure of themselves. So our 10 to 12 year olds get to enjoy going on our ropes course, or what's also known as Sky High Safari. And then our 8 and 9 year olds enjoy climbing our rock wall. So depending on the different age groups, you might get different experiences. And I haven't left out the 6 and 7s on purpose. We also give them usually a unique feeding or unique behind the scenes that the other groups don't get to experience. A lot of them definitely, they grow a lot in the sense that they learn a lot about animals while they're here, but they also learn a lot about themselves, how to interact in a group, be in a social environment, as well as being at school. This is a little bit different. It's less formal, so it's an opportunity for them to have a lot more fun, a lot more participation, I think, on a daily basis about what they want to do, but also a chance to learn, too. I like to think what they learn the most is that they are going to be educators of family and friends about the natural world, as well as also future conservationists. I really think kids take home the message that animals are wonderful creatures and that we have a responsibility to care for them and for their natural home.
We have many wonderful summer programs and summer camps in South Carolina that not only help student knowledge thrive, but also allows them to learn in a nurturing environment. To find some links in summer camps for South Carolina, as well as lesson plans we've created especially for this program, go to our homepage at scetv.org/Carolina Classrooms, or find us on Pinterest. The link is on the screen. Be sure to tune in for our last episode of this school year on June 24th at 7 p.m., we'll be joined by Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman and several legislators to talk about the most recent legislative education updates. We'd like to include your questions for them or comments you might like to share about this last legislative session as it relates to education. Please send them to carolinaclassrooms@scetv.org. That's all our time for now. We hope to see you next month on Carolina Classrooms. For everyone at ETV, I'm Dawn Samples. Thank you for watching. Good night.
And that'll do it for this week's Speaking of Schools podcast. We thank Dawn Samples for providing us with some ways to avoid that summer slide. Also appreciate the folks at South Carolina ETV for making that video possible. You can get the entire video and audio production at scetv.org. Click on Education and then Carolina Classrooms. This podcast is a production of South Carolina's Department of Education. It is a weekly feature here at this website, and we invite you to join us again next week when we'll have another podcast for your listening pleasure. The next 2 weeks will be special presentations, music from South Carolina's all-state choruses and all-state bands. Those will be over the next 2 weeks. It's an annual feature here as we celebrate during the 4th of July holiday period. That'll do it for this week's podcast. I'm Doug Keel, thanking you for the pleasure of your company, and invite you to join us once again when we'll be speaking of schools.